Weekly, we focus on the work of area organizations, individuals, advancing inclusion and equity in our community. This morning, let's learn about this grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Cut to the chase, that would be your expertise, WGVU grant writer Steve Chappell. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley. Good morning to all of our listeners and our guest, Mariana Avila, our inclusion reporter. We are proud and very serious about our work, focusing on equity issues for all of our residents in Grand Rapids and beyond. And therefore, we're partnering with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and a myriad of other organizations focusing on those same issues. We do that in two ways, through the creation of program, giving a voice to those that typically don't have a voice, putting the spotlight on key critical issues that need to be talked about to create a more equitable environment. And we reach out to our partners and have community events and hold conversations.
Great. Mariana, what's going on in your life? Busy?
Very busy. Always busy. Trying to keep it that way.
Can you share a bit of this opportunity that you have had along with Steve and, well, you've certainly been able to share your guests here on this platform?
Yeah, so we're trying to connect what we have done over the last 2 years, which was trying to bring to the forefront some of the stories that are otherwise not heard within West Michigan from communities that you just don't hear about, and also trying to figure out a way to elevate them so that it was their perspective that was brought to the fore without necessarily being challenged or discredited by narratives that we more commonly hear. One example would be the Native American perspective on U.S. history. The way that it is told in elementary schools and the way that they experience it are two completely different narratives. And so that would just be one example. We have also tried to bring the community into a space where we could build a beat, which is what we call it in journalistic, I guess, lingo. We're trying to establish a way to report around an issue. And to do that, we had to build a lot of connections. So we've built a network of partners and sources that we constantly go to for information and for stories and perspectives, because this also has a lot to do with perspective and whose points of view you're telling. And through the 2 years of work that we have done, we've developed a method that I think has led us to more community engagement as a station, but certainly as a project. And so now not only are we looking to bring people to the studio like we did with our TV show Mutually Inclusive, which brought a live studio audience for 2 years, but now we're actually going to try to maybe take it into spaces. So let's say that we do a show on health. Well, instead of bringing health professionals to our studio, try to take our show to hospitals or health centers, things like that. If we do police, we did one on policing, maybe we can, instead of bringing our police chief here, we can take it to the police department and say, okay, we did this show on policing. What do you think? Let's hear from you. So these are some of the I guess, things that we're looking forward to doing with the next couple of years, maybe, of work.
Yeah, Steve.
Well, you know, some of our listeners may be asking, well, why WGVU? Why are we involved in this? And it really gets down to our mission, our core mission, and we are really served by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which 50 years ago this year was created as an act of Congress to serve and help to fund public media. And if you look at their main objective, published June 12, 2017, the purpose of public media is to provide programs and services that inform, educate, enlighten, and enrich the people and help inform civil discourse essential to American society. It is CPB's particular responsibility to encourage the development of content that involves creative risk and that addresses the needs of unserved and underserved audiences, especially children and minorities. So we are focusing right up front on this mission through this work with Kellogg, and we're pleased to serve all of our residents. I do have a question for Mariano.
All right.
The meeting that we had on August 17th, it was kind of a summit of our partners, including LinkUp, the Lakeshore Ethnic Diversity Alliance, Partners for Racism Free Community, Grand Rapids Public Schools, and a number of others. We convene them to kind of celebrate what we have achieved together and to look toward the future. And they gave a number of recommendations. What, in your view, are some of those key recommendations that's going to help guide our work?
Key recommendations, I think that the big one, which several people mentioned, was to focus on intersectionality. And to give an explanation for those who are not as familiar with this kind of terminology, if you are talking about the particular ways in which a woman would experience marginalization, say, in the workplace, add to that the way that black people in general experience marginalization, and maybe the way that gay people experience it. So you find a woman who is black and gay, and you have 3 points of intersectionality in which she experiences, marginalization, which is not to say that intersection is, well, I'm a wealthy white Christian guy. You don't have 4 points of intersection of oppression. You have 4 points of privilege. So we're trying to focus on intersectionality as it relates to oppressions and marginalization. And that's one of the things they said, is try to be a little more intersectional with your work. So we're going to try to do that. Another thing that they recommended is try to maybe focus a little bit on children. We've been focusing a lot on the systems that affect children. So policing affects children as soon as they grow to a certain age. So we talked about a 14-year-old who experienced a really rough encounter with police and has now lost the ability to play contact sports. He was cleared of all charges, and his family's now suing our police department. But that was something that happened to him when he was 14. By legal definitions, and certainly by my estimation, that's still a child. So focusing on children, we've done it, but we haven't used a particular lens to focus on children. So now we want to do that. If we look at other things, let's say health, we looked at African-American infant mortality, but that's really a focus on the mother. How does she experience toxic stress through racism that leads to poor birth weight, which leads to poor birth outcomes, which means infant death, unfortunately. A very common story within the Native American community. I mean, Native American, African American, although Native American as well. Mm-hmm. How do we look at the child as well? So once a child is born, how do we look at that? These are some of the lenses that we have tried to approach looking at families holistically, but now we're going to try to maybe narrow in on some of the issues that affect children in particular.
And if some of our listeners have not heard or viewed some of that programming that Mariana just talked about, they, of course, can go to our mutually inclusive webpage by going to WGVU and then navigating to television or radio. They can watch all of the archived programs on policing, Islamophobia, and a number of other topics, and hear stories that you and your colleagues have produced. Mariana, looking at this from a community engagement perspective, what do we stand to gain as this project moves forward as far as how to go about empowering people to tell more of those stories and then translate that into change into the community?
Well, the thing about journalism is that we get to elevate and create a platform for people, and hopefully they get to decide how they want to do that. And so what we're trying to do is a methodology called civic journalism, where we bring in the right players who are experiencing a particular situation and those who can do something about it, stakeholders, and then we ask them questions like, how can we change some of these systems that are affecting communities disproportionately and creating racialized outcomes? And then they hopefully will come up with some of these solutions. We're hoping to organize events around this and use programming that really is a catalyst for conversation, but not just hope that it's a catalyst for conversation, really make it a catalyst for conversation by, again, going into spaces that we haven't been in before, bringing some of our materials and using them as prompts. Then, out of that, bring the right players so that they can take back some of these questions and some of the ideas that were brought forth and organize or create programming out of that space. So we're really going to be proactive in moving the needle and trying to change conversations around racial equity and in helping people have the resources that they need to have the information to make good decisions as citizens, but also as, institutional agents.
Okay. One more time, best way to find that more information, Steve?
WGVU.org/mutually inclusive. They can view the videos and hear all the audio archive stories.
Great. We're also on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's important. Instagram as well?
Yes, actually, yes,
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mutually inclusive. Thank you, colleagues Mariano Avila, Steve Chappell, and the great many partners involved in this opportunity. We'll speak again. Thank you.
Thank